has to be. And we're in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. But I want us to run right to verse 27 first, because this is the key to the ministry. Verse 27, Colossians 1, 27 is the key to ministry, period. All right? It says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Now here's the key, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's no ministry without Christ in you, hope of glory. Then there's no persecution too tough, because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's no sorrow too bad, because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's no trial too hard in ministry, because it's Christ in you, hope of glory. We are not doing it. It's Him in us that we work and do. Does everybody understand? So whenever you think about ministry, serving, whether it be a class, a bus, a prayer meeting, a testimony, it don't matter what it is, a mission field, a pastor, it don't matter, a gentleman, it don't matter what it is, it's Christ in you, hope of glory. When I hand out an invitation, it's Christ in me, hope of glory. When I hand out a tract, it's Christ in me, hope of glory. And nothing can take that. So when we think about ability, I don't have the ability. Yes, you do. It's Christ in you, hope of glory. Everyone has the same equal ability to present themselves for ministry. Now, we may have different abilities in ministry, but we all have the same ability to present ourselves for ministry. Does everybody understand that? I can't make it much simpler than that, all right? Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, we'll get right back to Colossians in just a second. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, because we need this in our mind before we continue here. Now, I'm not wanting no one to be discouraged in any way, shape, or form, because it'll seem like, well, we tell you, well, you get saved, you come to the Lord, then you're going to have a hard time. Well, you won't with the Lord. You won't with the Lord, but you become a pilgrim. You change your citizenship, and then you got to go through the paperwork. All right? And that paperwork's a hassle, because you're not here no more, and you're wanting to get on the bus and leave, and you can't until it's time. Everybody understand? Follow it. Talk to me if you understand. So look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's look at verse 11. It says, persecutions, afflictions, and this is Paul writing Timothy now, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now we need to understand that. If we live godly, we're going to suffer persecution, okay? Verse 13 then says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now can I tell you the reason that verse is there? At verse 13, and letting you know that your persecution is not going to necessarily be from the world, but it's going to be from those who peddle false doctrine, or those who won't stand upon the Word of God, who won't stand upon sound doctrine. Okay, the world will only persecute you so much, because the Bible promises you that even your enemies shall be at peace with you. That's what the Scripture says. But your problems seem like, well, I was going to ask you, of all the hurt we've had, where's it been, the world or church people? Most hurt comes from church folk. And that ought not be. But He prepares us for it. And then there's false doctrine. Everybody goes to church don't believe right.
That's right.
Just because they go to church. All right? And sometimes the devil will transplant one.
Yes.
Because he's a counterfeit. And he'll plant an evil men or seducers deceiving, being deceived. But look what it says in verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And then it says, and. So that's another thought. All right, there in verse 15, and starts another thought. But 11 through 14 is one thought here, and we're talking about persecutions. Everybody follow me?
Yeah.
All right, so I want you to understand things are going to happen. So let's go back to Colossians, and we'll look at verse 24. Everybody still with me?
Yeah.
Colossians 24, let's just read down through 29, finish it out the chapter here, and we'll look at some things. It says, who now rejoice in my suffering? Now, Paul's talking about himself. For I, Paul, verse 23, last verse, last part of verse says, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice. So he's the one that's doing the rejoicing. Who now rejoice. Where is he rejoicing at? In my sufferings for you. Now the reason that he's suffering, he's in jail, but because of the gospel that he is promoting and preaching and teaching, that's why he's in jail. And it was for the people. It was for the people of Colossae. It was for the people of Philippi. It was for the people of Ephesus. It was for all those, okay? Them are the prison epistles. That's who he wrote to. And even Philemon, or Philemon, however you say it. Everybody still okay? Now, it says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. So see, he's rejoicing in the suffering for the church. Does everybody follow me? All right. Now, let me stop right there. And any ministry that we have is through the church.
Amen.
Let me say it again. Any ministry we have is through the church.
Amen.
And can I tell you, as a Christian, any suffering we have is through the church.
Yeah.
And any persecution is through the church or because of the church. Because of the word of God. Okay. Now, verse 25 says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Now, this mystery in 27 is the same mystery in 26. Among the Gentiles. And what is that mystery? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. They never knew that. They never had that. In the Old Testament, they weren't taught that. They didn't have, the Holy Spirit came and went, He moved upon them and they done the work. But everybody didn't have the same relationship that we have because Christ went away and said that I will come back as the Holy Spirit. He is God in the Spirit, if you would. And the Holy Spirit is God. Christ is God. God the Father is God. And He's going to move in. And He's going to be with you forever. And that's something they never understood.
Right. Amen.
All right. And it was a mystery to them. And can I tell you, I think it's still a mystery.
Yeah.
I think it's still a mystery that we believe. We believe it, but we don't believe it. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, that Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Think about that. He lives. I can't get away from it. See, that's another reason I'm eternally secure. Because Christ lives in me, and I can't get away from it. Wherever He goes, I go. But wherever I go, He goes. David even said, if I ascend up to the heavens, thou art there. If I go make my bed in hell, thou art there.
Right.
Wherever he went, David even said that. He understood, David understood more about the mystery maybe than what we understand today. All right? And the Lord moved and went, if you would. We still okay?
Yeah.
Look at verse 28. Whom we preach, who do we preach? This Christ in you. Christ is who we preach. Whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Now, let's go to the middle of the page. All right, middle of the page. That's where we left off for last week. And there, let's start about there. Paul's in prison for the gospel's sake, yet he rejoices. Everybody see that there in the middle of your page? All right. And what'd you do with your paper? You took it home, Cheryl. You need a paper? That paper back there, somebody bring Cheryl paper. Anybody else need a paper? All right. Now, let's look at some things. Look at Mark chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Everybody still with me? Matthew chapter 20. Let's look at verse 28. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Now, Jesus is teaching his disciples. And he says here, he's teaching them humility. He's teaching them about being a servant. He's teaching them the right way to do here. Verse 27, whoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. But look at verse 28. He says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Yeah. All right. For even the Son of Man, even Christ come to minister. Yeah. Okay. So we're ministers as well. Christ came to minister, to be a servant, to take the low place. See, sometimes we get prideful and we think that serving puts us up, but it ought to bring us down. All right. Serving, Martha's always given a hard go. All right. But somebody had to do it. Now the Bible says that she was covered about with much serving. Christ didn't tell her to quit and get in there and sit down. Right. He didn't do that. No. All right. He said she has chosen the better part, speaking of Mary. But he didn't scold her for serving. Is everybody still with me? But service don't put us up here. Service puts us down here because Christ is exalted, sure, and has the preeminence, sure. But can I tell you, he said, I came not to be ministered unto, for everyone to flock to me. I come to minister to everyone. Right. I'm going to flock to you. Right. Be okay? Now, he repeats that. So when I see things repeated, when he says it once, it's true. When he says it twice, it's really true. How about that? How about Mark chapter 10? That's when he says, verily, you better listen. When he says, verily, verily, you really better listen. All right. Let's look at Mark chapter 10, verse 45. And Mark is saying the same thing here. And Mark views him as a servant anyway. Okay. And let's look here at verse 43 before we get there. It says, but so shall it be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. All right. So ministry is great. Ministry is the thing, is the place to be, really. Service is the place to be. How about that? And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. All right. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Can I tell you, we are to follow that example and be a minister. Now, and your ministry will not go, unnoticed, whether it be large or small. All right. We're not to compare ministries. I'm not to compare myself to another pastor or another Christian. You're not supposed to compare one to another. Look in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, and let's look at verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have what? Ministered to the saints and what? And do minister. He knows. He's not. Now, we are judged for what sort of work we do, but we're not judged on what size it is. We're only judged on what sort it is. That's what the Bible says. Everybody follow me? So we don't compare one to another because everybody don't have the same job. There's some things that we're all supposed to do. All right? We're all supposed to be a witness. We're all supposed to have a bright light. We're all supposed to be faithful to God. We're all supposed to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Workmen need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's for everybody. We're all supposed to study, to give much attention to reading. We're all supposed to do that. Them are normal, everyday things. But then there's service, there's ministry. And when we go in ministry, then persecutions come, sufferings come. Okay? And sufferings come from without. Now, the Apostle Paul, he got it from both sides. The Apostle Paul got it from the people he was preaching to, and then he got it to the people after they got saved. He got it from them. They were, some had helped him and some had ridiculed him. Alright? He had enemies. Alright? He had enemies that wanted to kill him, and then he made friends out of the enemies who said, "You ain't got no business going to Caesar. If you just shut up, I'll get you out of this." And Paul says, "No, I'm going." You know, I mean, he befriended them, and they gonna jump on his side. But then he has trouble in the church because of what he was doing. All right, so everybody still follow me? Now look over in John 15. Is everybody still following me tonight? Now what we're talking about is ministry. We're talking about ministry, and Paul said that he suffered some things. And I want you to understand and not be discouraged when things don't go like you think they ought to go. Because we're not given a promise of a bed of roses here because we're just traveling through. What good would a bed of ease do somebody that's supposed to be moving all the time? Are you listening to me? What good would a bed of ease do somebody that ain't supposed to stay here long? We get the bed of ease there. All right? We get the sleeping bag and a bedroll here, and sometimes you can get in it, sometimes you can't. All right, John 15. All right, let's look at John 15. And let's start at verse 15. Now, I like the heading that's in my Bible here. It says the new intimacy. All right, that's really good for me. But look here at verse 15. John 15, 15. "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go bring forth fruit." Now, it's so funny that he said, "I ain't calling you a servant, I'm calling you my friend, but here I want you to do something." Can I tell you that when friends are doing something, that good, true friends go help them? And they don't count at work? They don't want pay for it? You ever have a good friend that knows you're doing something, they come, "Let me help you," and then they don't dun you for it?
Right?
So we're getting, are you following my train of thought here? We're ministering one to another, but we're not doing it for the outcome for us. We're doing it because our friend needs it. I'm a servant from a friend, but I'm not counting the work, but I'm serving you because I love you, but I'm really not a servant, I'm your friend, but I'm serving you. Okay? I mean, a lot of you eat at my table. All right, I'm your friend, I'm your preacher, but I'm your servant. You know, you need something else, you need something. I go get you a fork, you didn't get a spoon, you need more ice, you know. But I'm your friend. But I'm working for you, but I ain't saying that, make sure you leave me a tip. I don't do that. You know what I'm saying? And so we need to read the scripture all together, all the way through, to understand that we're not hired servants. We're not hired servants that expecting a payday, but we got a friend that's sticking closer than a brother that we're going to minister to and with.
Amen.
All right? And can I tell you, if you go help somebody, somebody's going to say something about it. You know what they over doing? What they over, they're always over helping him do something. What they doing over all the time? You ever hear anybody do that? But that's from the people that you go to church with. But I have called you friend, verse 15, but I have called you friend, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Now verse 18 says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So, if there's any suffering, if there's any persecution, anything that goes on, it's Christ in you, hope of glory. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't be shocked. Alright? Everybody follow me? Everybody look this way. Everybody don't like you. We ought to, but that ain't the way it is. You know? It's a shame, but that's the way it is. Yeah. Now, verse 19. If you were of the world would love his own. See, if you didn't try to live godly, they wouldn't be no issue. Now, that's in the church or out of the church. If you didn't want to live godly, they wouldn't be no issue with nobody. Yeah. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. All right. See, when we live godly, it exposes things.
Yes.
Do you know that? Think about that. You know, if you got a black vehicle out there, it shows every speck of dirt. All right? And ain't no problem there. Somebody get a white vehicle. You know, it can be the dirtiest one out there, but you don't notice it as bad. All right? Until you wash part of it. And when you wash part of it, you say, oh, my, that's awful. And I tell you, things that are exposed when the cleaning comes in. Some things are obvious, some things are not. Is everybody following me tonight? Now, let's look on. Alright? So, being a Christian, back on our paper here, being a Christian, being in his service don't mean it's going to be an easy road. And because we're reminded here, back in Colossians, now we're going to go back here just for a moment, that there is suffering in service. And we just don't want to forget that when we come to follow the Lord. Now, Brother Butch, as I mentioned even last week, Brother Butch, as long as I've known him, he's always praised and make us more like Jesus. And we all think, well, that's wonderful. But can I tell you, that's going to bring some suffering in. Because Philippians 3:10, and we know that. We give it to you last week. And that's my life verse. And so I love the verse, but it says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, plural. Right? There's more than one suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Now, my suffering is not going to be compared to him, and that my suffering will not have nothing to do with an atonement for sin. But because I know Christ, I will have problems. And because you know Christ, you will have it. Now, everything is not suffering for Christ. Everything that goes wrong in your life is not suffering for Christ. Your choices in sin is not suffering for Christ. Everybody understand that? Your choices in sin is not suffering for Christ. Okay? Stupidity is not suffering for Christ. Okay? Everybody understand that? Think about that. And we all do dumb things. And the result of it does not mean that I'm suffering for the Lord. And just because you peeve somebody and they don't like you, don't mean you're suffering. If you're the one that caused the problem. It's for Christ and the gospel and the ministry. You understand? If I throw a rock in your yard, you don't have to throw it by. You know? Somebody throws one in mine, I don't have to throw it by. All right? But just because they did don't mean that's suffering. Are you following me? Everything ain't a cross. Everybody okay? If I've smoked two packs of Camels for 25 years, all right, and I have a breathing problem, COPD, got a lung problem, I ain't suffering for Christ. I'm suffering for Camels. All right? Everybody understand that? Think about that. So these are things we need to, everything that we do is not suffering, but everything we do is ministry. Think about that. Everything we do ain't suffering. Everything comes bad to us ain't suffering, but everything we do is ministry. Sometimes we're just a bad minister. Okay? Everybody follow me? Now, let's look on here. So when we see there's suffering with Jesus, now the whole world suffers. All right? The whole world, saved or lost, has sorrow, saved or lost has pain, saved or lost has loss. All right? And at times, it seems like we have more than unbelievers. At times. Let me tell you why we feel like sometimes there's more happens in the church than does in the world. Because to an extent, you have separated yourself from the world. And you're not running with the world, and you don't know everything that's going on in the world, and all you see happening is in the church, and when you see things happening to people that's in the church, you think, well, that's just that bad. But it's really not, because they're going through it by themselves. You're going through it with the Lord and with the church family, and we are in a confined area. All right? Are you understanding? Now, there's 24, 25 people now affiliated this church in some way. It's got cancer, either members of the church, some's done passed. That's just in the last 15 years. They've done passed or they're going through cancer now. But can I tell you, I can go and probably find 100 right quick that don't have nothing to do with this church or the Lord or nothing else that's got cancer just the same.
Right. Yeah.
Okay? So there's some suffering that is normal. Is everybody following me? Some suffering is normal, okay? But there will be times that we suffer because of Him. And there's many times, we're not going to finish this tonight, I can see that already. But there is many reasons that we can suffer, alright? Sometimes we'll suffer because of punishment. Paul went to prison for punishment. Okay, he didn't say, I know what I'll do, I'll make a good impact on the church, put me in jail. That ain't what he said. But he wasn't going to back up from preaching. He knew what it was going to cost him, but he didn't care. He was willing to pay that price, okay? And they put him in jail, so he suffered, all right? And we can read. Well, let's just go over and read a couple things here. Let's go to, let me find it here. How about 2 Corinthians 12? All right? Is everybody following what I'm saying tonight so far?
Yes.
Now, Paul's rejoicing in all of this, all right? He rejoiced in everything. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Chapter 11, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And Paul just gives you a few things that has happened to him here when he's writing here to Corinth. And there's just a few things that's happened to him. Just a few. He said of the verse 24, is everybody there? 2 Corinthians 11, 24 says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Five times he got beat 39 stripes. 25, verse 25 says, thrice was a beating. Three times they beat me with rods. Once I was a stone. Three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. I've been out there. It wasn't just shipwreck, but there was a night and a day I was out yonder, just hanging on. 26, verse 26 says, in journeys often. I've been everywhere, man. In perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, almost like I'm saying the same word, in perils by my own countrymen. Did you hear that? In perils by my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in a city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. That's where we started at there in 2 Timothy. In weariness, painfulness, watchings, often. In hunger and thirst. In fastings often. In cold and nakedness. And besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily. And then it says, there's a comma there, and then it's the care of all the churches. So all them other things happen, and then there's stuff that happens every day. Well, that's kind of discouraging, ain't it? Plus the care of the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? But there were questions there. If I must needs glory, I will glory the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under, how you say that, Rick? Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. We ain't been through nothing ever. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelation of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell. Yeah, he went through all that and got to see God.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so there is reward for it, but that ain't why he done it. He done it for the gospel's sake. Okay, is everybody still with me? Now, I have to say this. I want to share this before we leave. Today is 10 years since Philip wrecked. Today is 10 years ago, Philip wrecked. And I've thought about this because I know this day's coming. This is a day you always think about. And think about how it transpired and what happened. But I want to make a point with it tonight because it fell right in place here. It wasn't planned. It just kind of fell in place. When I typed this last week, I knew what was coming. But I want you to listen carefully. All right, Philip and Lindsay over here on this side of the altar, they knelt and committed their life to the Lord to be used of God. Ministry, however God would want to use them, ministry, servants, to get their people saved, whatever the Lord wanted, whatever the cost, whatever he wanted them to do. We have meant their life, and this is how they prayed. We didn't know this till after the wreck, but whatever God wanted to do, if it meant even take the babies. Now this Landon hadn't turned two yet, Hannah was just, what, four, and that's how they prayed, okay? And we know that, we all know this story, we know this, okay? But can I tell you, Marcus, I always laugh, you know, Marcus is a preacher, and I'll never forget, I think he told Rick, when Marcus surrendered to preach, how Philip said, it's just, I knew it'd be one of us, I'm glad it's him.
Right.
That's what Philip said. He said, I mean, he was just, man, I'm glad it was him, not me, you know. All right. But can I tell you that surrendering to service or that submission, all right, he's probably already won more people to the Lord than what Marcus has. Okay? Now, it's not meaning he's a better servant. That is what I'm saying. I'm just saying that's been his part. Okay, now we look at this as suffering. When we go and see Philip come in the wheelchair, aw. And we see him in his house, aw. But can I tell you, through all that suffering, he enjoys the Lord more than we do. Okay? Because the only thing on his mind is, are you saved? How many of y'all has he asked, are you saved? I bet he's witnessed everybody's ever spoke to him here in the church, are you saved? And he said, well, that's all he says on his mind. Well, is there supposed to be anything more on our mind? When he says, when he said, praise the Lord, every day I call, every day I talk to him, every day. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God being good to us. Well, is that wrong?
No.
Now, is he handicapped?
No.
I can't say it.
No.
I can't say that he's handicapped because he worships. Wait a minute. I can't say that he's handicapped because he witnesses. I can't say that he's handicapped because we've took him to the hospital many times, have tests done. I'll never forget that woman's up there at Clarksburg trying to put that IV in, and he's got him right here, and he's right here. Her face is right there, and she, you say? She's trying to. She looks at him more answering. He said, a little louder. He said, "You ready for God?" Yeah. She ain't answering me. Saying a little louder the third time. "You ready for God?" Like, her problem was she couldn't hear. Her problem was she wasn't going to answer. Okay? But now, is he handicapped? You tell me.
No. He's the one
in his
right mind.
Yeah, seriously. Now, what I'm telling you this, the reason I'm telling you this is, see, I can't rejoice. It's hard. I mean, I can with him sometime, but it's so hard to rejoice seeing him in a wheelchair because of my flesh. I want him like he was. But he rejoices in the afflictions. I can't explain it no better than that. Because we are not our own. We're bought with a price. Now, does God bless? Well, yeah. And because of y'all have been a blessing. All right, and so is everybody else. But I want you to understand, sometimes the suffering, if you'll drop down there toward the middle of the paper there, and I got it wrote down there, I think how God has used Philip and Lindsay to win many to the Lord. Our sufferings may be to test our faith. Our suffering may be to help us grow. Our suffering may be to bring opportunity to minister. Our suffering might be to show the control of God in our lives. And all of this, that Christ may get glory. All right, they come the other day, a new person come the other day to evaluate Philip. He has to have evaluations ever so much to for his wheelchair and all these things. They send new people. What does he do? Lays the gospel on, all right? They come in to fill the pump that's in his back, and it's not always the same nurse. What does he do? First thing he does, he witnesses to them. He not only asks them, are they saved? Well, I'm saved, my wife's saved, my children are saved. Are you saved? He wants to understand they're coming to a saved house. Now, what I'm wanting you to understand is he's still ministering and rejoicing.
Yeah. Right.
All right. The Apostle Paul is in jail, in prison.
Right.
Whether they be, I don't know, he was in prison more than once, and I don't know if they beat him all the time. I mean, when him and Silas was in jail, they had beaten him with many stripes. Was all the times that he was beat, was that all the imprisonments, the five times that he was beaten? I mean, everybody wasn't good to him. Everybody that was chained to him didn't get saved.
Right.
Everybody didn't say, well, listen, we're going to make it so your people can still come and visit you. Read your scripture, and it was allowed, he was allowed visitors that come and brought him things.
Right.
Okay? But not every time. Am I hearing something?
Yeah.
I got these Bluetooth hearing aids, and I don't know if my phone's ringing or what else is going.
You're okay.
Y'all don't understand the voices that's in my head since I got these new hearing aids. Okay. But anyway, y'all understand. So when we see the suffering, now, to Philip, he ain't suffering because he don't know that he's suffering. You know, Philip does not know that he's in a wheelchair. It don't cross his mind. He gets up in it every day, stands up, they stretch him, he turns around, sets him in it, but it don't comprehend him, I need to go in there and walk. He don't say, I'm tired of sitting in this. Never has he ever said, I'm tired of sitting in this wheelchair. Never. Okay? Paul never said, I'm tired of being in jail. Paul never said, I shouldn't be here. He said, can you move me to another one?
Yeah.
I'm not satisfied here in Philippi. Take me to Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Are you understanding? It's the submissive of being a servant, of being a friend. And that's why, and I wanted to get further than that. Let's go back to Colossians and I'll shut up. I could go and go and go. I want to encourage you. I'm trying to encourage you tonight. Because we all got stuff and we all got things we go through. But verse 24 says, who now rejoice. He said, let's read the last part of verse 23. Whereof I, Paul, am made a what?
Minister.
Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. And fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Listen, we bring ourselves to the Lord, we get saved, and we sometimes are consumed with the flesh and what's out there, and our being consumed there messes our joy up to where we can't rejoice, though we be hurting. Christ is still enough tonight. He's still enough. We'll try to pick up there in a couple weeks. So don't forget. See you Sunday.